I'm reading from Matthew 18, 21 to 30. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he ordered. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?'"
For those of you who haven't been here over the last few weeks, this is week three of our look at forgiveness. Last week, we considered the need to accept the forgiveness offered through the actions of Jesus on the cross. Each of us can be bound by the things we have done, or those things that separate us from God. We can feel dead inside and living with shame or guilt that rob us of life. And no matter how small or how big those things might be, Jesus speaks to the Father on our behalf and calls for us from that place of darkness into the light of God's forgiveness. We need to hear Jesus' call to us and in turn rise to receive life. We also need to recognise that none of us is worthy, nothing we can do to deserve God's gift to us. But that gift comes with no strings or qualifying conditions. Last week, for those of you who were reading the story about Lazarus rising, we also saw, though, that we have the support and encouragement of those who follow Jesus to help us loosen the bindings and find freedom. This week, we'll see that keeping that gift that we've received, that gift of forgiveness, to ourselves is not how we should respond once we have new life. This week and next are where the hard work begins. We need to continue on the journey of forgiveness and wholeness as we seek to forgive others and also forgive ourselves. I want to start with a story for you. There was once four siblings. Well, their childhood home had been a place of what we would now recognise as abuse. Each left home as soon as they were able. They supported their mother as best they could, and the boys had minimal contact with each other after that. The sister kept in regular contact with her brothers, but none of the boys would connect with each other. The actions and the hurts of their past had left their marks on each one. Well, as time passed, all the children attended their parents' funerals, but nothing changed in their relationships with each other's. Many years later, the first of the siblings died. Well, the sister was asked to attend the funeral so that the family would be represented. She in turn approached the two brothers. The oldest one came out of a sense of duty. The youngest was unwell and not able to travel, but he might not have attended anyway. At the funeral and in the time after, the brothers would not talk about the one that had passed away. So what was the difference? Over time, the sister had come to forgive the one for the things that had happened, just as she'd had to work through forgiving the parents. And she, in turn, had been reconciled with him before he passed. She would have liked to have talked to the others about him, but the unforgiveness that they had in their hearts had not made that possible. But the ripple effect of unforgiveness of others ran deep, and it went on to shape the interactions and attitudes of the following generations. That's what unforgiveness does. It doesn't just impact the one who has caused the hurt, it ripples out and infects so many others. But forgiving others means confronting things that we've experienced, and sometimes the things that have been withheld from us. It means confronting wounds that may not have healed. And it is hard work. It's also not a pretty thing to go through. There are some ugly words that we come across when we start to consider not forgiving others. Just as last week, when Lazarus came from the tomb, certainly we knew he wasn't going to smell pretty, but the wrappings and the start of decomposition meant he didn't look pretty either. And that's what unforgiveness is. We start to deal with forgiveness, it's not pretty to begin with, but when we start to unwrap the bindings, God goes to work changing us inside and changing that ugliness into beauty. So I wonder, what sorts of things make our relationship with others sinful? And this is where some of the ugly words jump up at us. We find that unforgiveness can be seen in being judgmental, being condemning, not being merciful, showing resentment, envy, acting in retaliation, perhaps even seeking vengeance, slandering the other, being bitter, complaining, being resisting, impatient or annoyed, or constantly negative towards the one who has hurt us. They're all ugly emotions and actions. But our unforgiveness does not just extend to that person and perhaps the ripple effects out from them, but it also impacts our relationship with God. When we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we can find ourselves spiritually dry and trying to find connection with God. Perhaps it may be a lack of growth or feeling that we are distant from Him. I mean, this can come from many sources, but unforgiveness of others has a big impact on all of our relationships, including our relationship with God. C.S. Lewis wrote, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable in others, because Christ has forgiven the inexcusable in us." But he also went on to say, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." And that's why today's parable is so easy for us to read, but difficult for us when we start to put ourselves into the story. Are any of us really any different to that central character in the story? When we recognise that we need God's forgiveness and come to Jesus, we want to celebrate and rejoice in the difference that we experience in the new life that we get from Him. To have our burdens lifted and to find freedom is a great thing. And we're told in the story that Norm read that the servant faced not only himself being imprisoned and sold into slavery, but also his family and possessions. There's that ripple effect again. Sin and unforgiveness impact more than just ourselves. There can be generational implications, and relationships are certainly affected. Just this week, I encountered a team that was being impacted by the attitude and behaviours of one staff member. It was impacting everyone at that site. that ripple effect of unforgiveness can go further than we can ever imagine. But it's good to rejoice when our sins and our debts are forgiven. But what we then do after that also matters. Our response to Jesus must be more than just inward. It must be shared outward, shared with others. That outward change needs to be seen as much as the inward one does. In the parable, we saw that the servant had had his debt cancelled and he was a free man. But what happened when he went away? He met someone who owed him something so much smaller, and instead of extending generosity and the same compassion that he'd been shown, he had the man thrown into jail. And so when word got back to his master, what happened is something that we should take notice of. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you? We hear God speak those words. It's a bit of a oops reaction, isn't it? These are harsh words, and harsh words have consequences. Folks, if you hear God speaking these words to you, then we are still bound in shame and guilt. And while, yes, we are saved and redeemed, we're far from being wholly clean. Our willingness to forgive others has consequences, just as their original actions or inactions had lasting consequences for us. It's been a big week, I have to say. I also had a conversation with someone who said they could not bring themselves to forgive the actions of a person who had been responsible for the death of another. They said it was not possible. Well, it's not easy, but it is possible. But it's a choice that we have to make, and then sometimes make again and again. God knows that we need to be encouraged to make that effort to start the forgiveness process. This parable is in fact only one of many that we find in the Bible. We go way back to the Old Testament too. You think, for all the things that happened to Joseph and the way God used him, at the very heart of the story is about the power of forgiveness within family relationships. We jump forward a little bit further into Deuteronomy, and we find that when God was setting up the way that his people should operate when they came into the land, that there was one set out around forgiving indebtedness or forgiveness of debts. In Deuteronomy 15, it sets out that debts should be forgiven every 7 years and people were to be granted freedom in order to start over again. This morning's parable is sparked by the question, a question about forgiveness. And Jesus' response, depending on the translation, was, you need to forgive 77 times or 70 times 7. The number itself is not the point. The point is, it's not a once and done decision to forgive someone. Sometimes it's a daily choice. So how do we go about forgiving others? It's a great summary of some points made in W. Paul Young's book, The Shack. Some of you may have read it, maybe not. But in it, in a conversation, he says, forgiveness is not about forgetting. It's about letting go of the other person's throat. We heard reference to chokehold with the master and servant interaction, didn't we? It's that same visual image that we've got holding on tightly. Forgiveness does not create a new relationship. Unless people speak the truth about what they have done and change their mind and behaviour, a relationship of trust is not possible. When you forgive someone, you certainly release them from judgment, but without true change, no real relationship can be established. Forgiveness in no way requires that you trust the one you forgive. But should they finally confess and repent, you will discover a miracle in your own heart that allows you to reach out and begin to build between you a bridge of reconciliation. But forgiveness does not excuse anything. You may have to declare your forgiveness 100 times a day and the second day, but the third day will be less and each day after, until one day you will realise you have forgiven completely And then one day you will start to pray for that person's wholeness. Forgiveness is a very complex thing. We need to start by making choices, though. Choice to find your freedom by forgiving. This doesn't mean that you stay in dangerous situations. You may need to walk away and stay away for your own safety or the safety of others. This includes not only physical safety, but may also mean your mental and spiritual well-being. It does not mean forgetting or excusing their behaviour or any harm that has been done. It may not mean making up with the other person. The choice to forgive brings a kind of peace for you, a peace that allows you to focus on yourself and then help others instead of being bound and controlled by the past. Then the Mayo Clinic outlines the following impacts when we don't forgive. We can find that bitterness and anger follow us into new relationships. We may find that we're trapped in the past and unable to enjoy the things around us in the present. It can lead to depression, anxiety, and irritability. You may even feel at odds with what you believe and our faith. It may be possible to be reconciled with those that you need to forgive. If that is possible, it is worth the effort. But sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes you may not have contact with those you need to forgive. They may be dead. You may not have a means or the relevant information to make that contact. It may not even be safe for you to do so. But you can still make the choice. We make the choice to start the journey of forgiveness regardless of the other person. And without making this choice, we're still bound by our past and the power that that person and the situations around had over us. So how might we go about gaining freedom from that bondage? It will take practice and it will take commitment. But when we've experienced the forgiveness that Jesus brings, we can see the healing that it brings to us. And should we not then extend the same freedom to others? We need to start by identifying who and what it is that we need healing from or for in our lives. Take it to Jesus and, where necessary, seek professional counselling. Friends, I have to say, this isn't pretty work, as I said before, but we can and do need to acknowledge the emotions that rise when considering the harm that's been done, be it tears, anger, or whatever. They are okay. And when we seek to recognise and address them, we start to find ways to release them and work towards our own healing. But we need to start by making the choice to forgive, letting go of the power and control that person and situation had over our lives. As I've said, forgiving someone doesn't mean forgetting. That person may not recognise their behaviour or admit to any wrongdoing. But forgiveness is about us and not about whether the other one repents. That's between them and God. As we start to forgive someone, it can help us to try and understand the other person's influences and motivations. It may not always be easy to identify or understand, but it can help us to see the other as God does. Reflecting on when others have even forgiven you for your wrong actions can also help to start the journey. For some, writing things down, journaling is helpful. Praying is certainly a part of the process. And the support of others and wise counsel are also something that we need to incorporate into our forgiveness journey. But we also need to see that the act of forgiving others is a process. It takes time, and even when we're sort of starting to come through the other side and find that release, small hurts may still come up that we need to acknowledge, revisit, and then forgive again and again. Sometimes we need to walk through the darkness before we can start to forgive. Back to Lazarus again, as much as he speaks to us about our relationship and forgiveness journey with God, he certainly speaks into this week as well. Lazarus spent time in that darkness and in the tomb before it was opened. But he didn't hear Jesus' voice as soon as the stone started to roll away. If you remember, Jesus prayed to God first, so there was a little bit of a gap between the opening of the door and when Jesus spoke. And then he came out. And when he came out into the light, and he needed help to unravel those things that kept him bound. Just as once we're forgiven, we need to continue to seek help to unravel those things that come up and hold us captive. That's just the start of the forgiveness process. Last week, we saw that it can be the start of the journey with Jesus to receive his gift of forgiveness, gift of forgiveness and freedom from shame and guilt that separates us from God, and the restoration of relationship and life in Christ. This week, we can start to unwrap the bindings of anger and bitterness that come from the power and hurt caused by others. We can find freedom and peace as we exercise forgiveness towards others. We can start to rebuild relationships with others. As I said, it may not be possible to reconcile with the one who has hurt us, but our inner hurts may impact others unknowingly, just as the work example I shared earlier did. We can repair relationships when we exercise that choice to forgive. We come to those final words of the Masters in today's reading. Jesus calls us the same. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Friends, there is help for this. Help from the Spirit to see where perhaps we've done wrong and seek forgiveness from others, but also to see where others have hurt us and seek the Spirit's help to start that forgiveness journey. We can have encouragement from friends and professionals. You don't need to work through the things that need forgiving from others on your own. As I've said each week, and we'll say again in the next two, if anything this morning has connected with you and you'd like prayer, or to talk more before you go, please make sure you do. There are those here who are happy to pray and to listen. For those who haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, there is a casserole dish in the foyer with some post-it notes and a pen. If you would like to just write some things around forgiveness that you might need to bring to God or for today, someone who you need to start the process of forgiveness with, don't put your name on them. And as I've said, someone asked if I needed a whole page. Go for it. This is between you and God. I don't read what's there. I just clear them and put them aside so that the bowl doesn't get too full. That'd be nice. And then on the 1st of September, we will go through the action of taking them out and setting them alight. Let the smoke rise and the ash disintegrate. And it's like they're gone. That actually doesn't start the process. There's nothing magic in that. It's just sometimes for some of us, seeing a physical action, a bit of theatre helps to enforce the messages that we've heard. So if that is something you'd like to, you think may help and want to participate in, please make use of the dishes out there. These are, again, as I've said, difficult issues for people. If you need to talk to someone, we're here. Otherwise, if you want to talk to someone outside the church, or with professional counselling experience, Lifeline is available and a great place to help to start. Or you may need to seek out some of the relevant support groups. Friends, we have received freedom from Jesus and the chance of a new life. This week he offers us the reminder to loosen those bonds that we may still carry with us. The things that others have done that hold us back, that keep us from experiencing full life. Next week, we'll look at the need to forgive ourselves. And that's sometimes even harder still. But I'd encourage you to pray this week for Jesus to shine the light on those things that were done or were not done by others, that we need to start seeking help from God to forgive The hard work that comes from that will be worth it when we experience the freedom that comes from handing the burdens that we carry unnecessarily over to Him. And so we say Amen. Friends, let's just pray. Beloved Father, thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, and for saving us. Thank you for being patient with us. Your word tells us that if we forget those who have sinned against us, then you, our Heavenly Father, will forgive us. Help us choose to forgive. Help us to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who has offended us. Holy Spirit, we help you. We ask you to help all of us to forgive the people who have hurt us. Lord, heal our emotions that have been wounded and teach us how to love unconditionally, just as you do. Help us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Help us to liberally extend that same grace to others, the same grace that you extend to us. Lord, we trust you to heal any wounds in our souls that are caused by unforgiveness. So we thank you that we can come to you, seek your help in these matters, and you will guide us and be with us on the journey. And we give you thanks and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.